Well, this morning we have a special guest speaker, and I'm very, very excited to have him here. He's our friend Dave Gilmore. Dave attends Christ Community Church. Those of you who were with us when we were at the school, remember that's the church down the road from us. And we've all prayed about it, and we've forgiven David for going there. No, we're just kidding. Sort of. Anyhow, he's a good brother in the Lord. And we first got to know Dave. He's one of Karen's workmates. And he handles the technical side of the office there, their computers and such. And we also were very, very happy to find out he's a wonderful brother in the Lord. He loves the Lord. His passion is apologetics. And recently he's been given an opportunity to speak at his church. And so now I wanted to take advantage of him and take a little rest here and before I get into the Christmas and New Year's thing. And so today I'm really excited about what he has to say to us about being ambassadors for Christ. And David, kind of come up, please.
There we go. All right, good morning, everybody. Like Pastor Manuel said, my name is Dave Gilmore. No, I am not a member of Pink Floyd. Yes, I am related to the Gilmore girls. My wife is right there. My daughter, they are Gilmore girls. And my son's name is not Happy, so let's just get that out of the way. does anybody else ever feel like they've had problems sharing Christianity? Right. It's hard, right? Okay. It's hard to have those kind of conversations. And whenever I don't... So when I look for how I'm going to do this kind of stuff, I look for real-world examples and kind of role models on how to approach different things. And, you know, so when I look for role models on how to spread the gospel, you know, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, so my role models for spreading the gospel were guys like Jim Baker and, you know, Jimmy Stewart, like televangelists, and I didn't feel comfortable being, you know, talking like that. You know, another kind of example was like a street preacher. You know, you see the guys up on their soapbox and pointing fingers and waving their Bibles around. And I didn't feel comfortable being that guy either. You know, and another example that I always saw was people going door to door and handing out pamphlets, which to me is kind of like being a salesman. I tried sales once. I was terrible at it. I felt, you know, like I was being very pushy. And this isn't something that I felt comfortable doing. Being pushy and sharing the gospel isn't going to get you very far. So I didn't really have a lot of great examples. Like how, you know, we get told by the Great Commission that we're supposed to share the gospel. We're supposed to go out and make disciples. But I didn't know how to do that, right? Like I didn't get a lot of how-to information when I was studying it. And then I came across a teacher named Greg Kokel, and he works for an organization called Stand to Reason. Has anybody ever heard of Stand to Reason? Yeah, okay. If not, they're a great organization, and I encourage you to check them out. Greg Kokel promotes, and his organization promote this idea of being an ambassador. And when I heard that, when I heard about being an ambassador, it just kind of clicked, right? Like, that's it, ambassadors, right? So then they get their example actually from Scripture, because Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us." So we are Christ's ambassadors. He tells us that. And the name, this is my, I run a website, which is Apologetics in Nature. And apologetics, for those of you who don't know, that isn't where I say I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. I'm not apologizing for being a Christian. Okay. As we read in our scripture reading today, we are to give a defense. And in Greek, that word is apologia. So we are to give an apology, and that means a defense make the case or that kind of stuff. So apologetics is about making the case for what we believe in. That's what my site is about. Legati Christi is actually Latin for ambassadors for Christ. And this concept of being a Christian struck me so strongly as a way to share my convictions and my beliefs with people, that's what I base my website around. And once I started to really consider the ambassador, then I could kind of think, start to the how really started to fall into place. And I started to ponder, you know, what is it that an ambassador does, and what are some of these things that they do and the traits that they have? And, you know, we are all ambassadors, whether we want to be or not, because once you let somebody know that you're a Christian, or that you read the Bible, or that you go to church, or whatever, once you let them know this, you're an ambassador, because they're looking at you and judging Christianity by what you do and what you say. So Jesus is being judged on you, on your actions. So we are ambassadors, whether we want to be or not. There's no choice, really. So once I started thinking about being an ambassador, I wanted to know, you know, what are some of the roles of an ambassador? So I took this back to the real world, and I considered real world ambassadors, you know. So we have ambassadors that go to other nations and other countries. And in America, when an ambassador goes to another country, they're typically promoting American ideals, such as a democratic republic and free market economy and things that have made America successful and why we believe that the way that we do things in America is the best thing for the world and how countries should work. And you know, as ambassadors of Jesus, we're also given this commission because Jesus says he's from another kingdom. He's not of this world. He's from another kingdom. So as his representatives, we also are not of this world. We're representing his kingdom. So we're his ambassadors in that way. We are geographically, of course, in the same country as non-believers. So it's not really the same that way, but sometimes when we look around at the news or at social media or at movies, it really feels foreign. You know, America in general has abandoned a lot of the Judeo-Christian values that brought us such prosperity in our country. And so we as Christians look at that, and it feels that some of the stuff that's going on feels very foreign to us. So it's like it is, in a sense, like a foreign culture, like a foreign nation. So we, as Christians, we have a few options. The first option is we can hole up in our bunkers, and kind of try to keep the bad world out, or whatever we want to call it. You know, we can hole up, or we can learn to engage, and we can learn to engage with the culture like an ambassador and be able to spread the gospel. Stand to Reason, that I mentioned with Greg Kokel, they have what they call an ambassador model. And the ambassador model has three parts. The first part is an ambassador has to have knowledge. So you have to know the message that you're trying to spread. And I got to tell you, watching the announcements here, I was floored. Like, you guys, if you're not taking advantage of these opportunities to learn, wow. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on here that you guys are doing, study and everything. I listen to Pastor Manuel's sermons, and we talk a lot. He packs a lot of information in his sermons, okay? But you can't get everything from one message every week. There's too much. So it requires having the knowledge and having the information requires Bible study. It requires taking some of the classes that are being offered. It requires listening. So you have to have that knowledge in order to be able to spread the message that you want to teach. Because if you don't know the message, then what's the point, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing is you have to have wisdom. And wisdom means you have to know how to have conversations. The conversation that you use with one person isn't the same kind of conversation you can have with another one. There was a great example of that in our church. We had a missionary that came back, and he's in Papua New Guinea. And in Papua New Guinea, that island has, I think he said, like 80 different languages. Okay, so when you as a missionary to a foreign country, you can't walk in and just start speaking English, right? You have to learn how to, and not even speaking a language, you have to learn how to adapt to the culture that you're talking to. So for them, he and his team quickly realized that this culture learned off of imagery. So they very quickly, in the church that they built or in the classroom that they were teaching in, they put the entire story from Genesis to Revelation in pictures across the wall, because that's how this culture learned. they learned and understood, and he was able to reach them through picture. So that's an example of wisdom, like knowing that you can't just walk in and expect people to speak your language. You have to adapt yourself in these conversations in order to be able to have them with a variety of different people. And the third thing that the ambassador model shows is character. So you have to live out the message. You have to, because really, when people find out you're a Christian, the first thing they're going to do is watch you, right? They're going to watch to make sure that you're walking the walk and that you're talking. They're going to make sure they want to make sure your audio matches your video, right? So you have to have character. That's the third aspect. So you can't be a good talker and be a great person and have no knowledge. Okay? You also can't be full of knowledge and be a great person but not know how to communicate to people. Because then it's a wasted effort to be, you know, I mean, you're going to be saved, but really we're supposed to be sharing the gospel. So if you don't know how to talk to people, then taking in all this extra knowledge is a waste of effort. And you also can't know every verse in the Bible, and you can't be a great talker, but be a jerk. So you have to have good character. I mean, look, the gospel itself is offensive enough, okay? Don't put your offense on top of it. So you have to have good character when you present. So that's kind of the ambassador model. And now we can start to think about what are some traits that an ambassador possesses? What when you think of an ambassador, what are some things that they do that makes them a worthy ambassador? And we have a great example from Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, 20 through 22. And in there, Paul says, "To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak." And here's the key. "I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some." So basically what Paul is saying is he's in the culture, but he's not of it. Does that make sense? Right? He looks at the culture that he's in, and he adapts his message to that culture, and he can portray it because he's not trying to push a specific culture on people. You know, in our men's study that we're doing on leadership, one of the things that we were talking about this week was that one of the great things about Christianity is it's not tied to a culture. You know, it's not tied to any specific culture. It is structured so that you can walk into Greece, and you can walk into Rome, and you can walk into Egypt, and you can walk into various places in America. And the worship styles are different, but at the core, as long as the doctrine is the same, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, how you do communion. It doesn't matter how you do baptism. It just matters that you do it, right? So it's easily adaptable. So Paul says we are to be in the culture, but not of it. So the first trait of an ambassador is that an ambassador builds relationships. You know, when you start to study something and you become kind of empowered with this knowledge, you know, as a Christian, sometimes we see a problem and we bust in the door. We say, "Never fear, I am here to solve your problems. I am a Christian." And you know, that's very off-putting, right? And because, you know, sometimes we're so excited because we feel like we have all the answers that we just become very overbearing about it. And one of the number one complaints about Christians is that we come off very self-righteous. You know, if the first time you see somebody doing something that you feel is not right, and all of a sudden they don't know you from Adam, and you tell them that they're doing something wrong, they're not going to listen to you, right? They're not going to pay attention. So we can't just bust in the door and start making demands. When ambassadors do their job, they spend time with people, and they spend time to get to know them. And, you know, you can't jump in and start pointing your finger condemning people Because that's not an effective way to spread the message anymore. You know, when we went to Comic-Con one year, and this happens all the time, we look around and we see protesters out front and with their signs and condemning everybody, saying, you know, you're going to go to hell because you like comic books or whatever. You know, nobody pays attention to that. No, nobody pays attention. They just keep walking by. And I'm not even kidding. The last time I gave this message at my church, we went home, and on the street corner, there were people with signs protesting, telling everybody that they were going to hell because of some various sin, one or another. And that never happens. I've never seen them there since, and I've never seen them there before, but they were there that day. So, and people are just driving right on by. You know, this isn't the way to get to know people and communicate. So, and I think part of this urge comes because we feel a lot of pressure to bring somebody to the foot of the cross every time we have a conversation. And that's not how it works. You know, it takes time. And, you know, I look back at I grew up in Methodist Church. And when I left for college, I drifted away. I never stopped believing in God, but I had got a lot of, you know, ideas in my head that were wrong. And when I came back to Jesus, it wasn't one specific thing that did it. It was a series of events, right? So it's very rare for people to come to the cross on one single event. It doesn't happen that way. It's a series of events. So as an ambassador, we have to spend time getting to know people. And that starts with questions. It starts with listening. Okay, I know you guys are doing a conversational evangelism book right now, and I know the authors. I'm not familiar with the book itself, but I know the authors. And it starts with listening. You know, I get really excited because I spend a lot of time learning and knowing, and I get really excited to tell everybody what I know. But sometimes, when I tell people what I know, it isn't going to solve their problem because I don't know their problem yet. Right, so we have to take the time to listen to people and ask. That starts with asking questions. You know, a lot of times people don't, when they have objections against Christianity, they make a claim like, "I don't believe in God," and then we start on all that you should believe in God because of X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. But we have to first establish some the ground. The first thing you should do is ask a question like, "What do you mean by God?" And sometimes they might say, "Well, I don't believe that there's some, you know, bearded sky daddy up in space, you know, watching over us." And you can say, "Good, I don't believe in that God either." You know, but I wouldn't have known that if I didn't ask questions. So we have to ask questions. We have to take time to get to know the people that we're trying to communicate with. So we can't just hop in and start fixing problems. We have to take the time to get to know them. The second trait of an ambassador is that ambassadors spend their time in foreign soils. An ambassador to the U.S. does the U.S. no good if he stays in Washington. He has to go to the foreign country to do his work. He has to be in the foreign soil. And because the foreign nations don't come to them. And a good ambassador learns the language of the foreign nation, learns the customs, learns the culture, so that he can tailor his message to their culture and their society. You know, and as Christians, we look at this building as our home country, although I know you guys have been very much a migrant country recently. But typically, in the rest of Christianity, and where we have a church, a lot of Christians look at their church, that's their home country. And we love being in our home country, and we love coming to sing our songs and hear the pastor speak and hear messages that we all are familiar with. It's very comforting. But Jesus didn't say, "If you build it, they will come." Okay, he said, "Go make disciples." Okay, so we have to. It's great to be here, and we get energized, and we feel the energy. But the work gets done out there, not in here, as far as sharing the gospel. So we have to be ready to go into foreign soil. And you know, when you read the gospels, Jesus is described more as spending time outside as he is in the synagogue. You know, now whether or not he exactly what he did, we don't know. But all the stuff that's described in the gospel, he's out teaching more than he's in the synagogue teaching. Because he knew that if he wanted to spread his message, it had to be done outside of the synagogue, right? He had to be out in among the people to spread his message. So that's where he did most of his work. And so when we look at books and movies and TV and social media, you know, that's kind of like the foreign territory to us. Because, I mean, if you look at, oh, there's a lot of news that's spread by Twitter. Twitter is like a total cesspool. I mean, it's crazy what gets said on there. But if we don't take the time to really understand the mediums and understand the messages and understand that kind of stuff, the more time we spend really seeing what's going on, the easier it is for us to adapt our message to the culture and to be able to share. I am a card-carrying geek and a nerd, and I love science fiction. I love fantasy movies. I love all that kind of stuff. So a great example of this would be something like Lord of the Rings. Okay? Now, I understand that Tolkien was a Catholic, but he was very adamant about, I am not putting on purpose Christian messages inside of his work. Okay? He was very adamant about that. He wasn't trying to push an agenda, no matter how people look for it. However, we can take an example of the One Ring. Are most people familiar with Lord of the Rings? Okay. So I should ask that question. In for those of you who are familiar, in Lord of the Rings, there's the One Ring. And the One Ring is used by this man, this creature named Sauron. And it's part of his, and he's kind of like the devil in a sense. He's all evil. And he put part of his soul into this ring. And there are several people in the movie who look at the ring and say, I can take this ring and use it for good. And it always corrupts them every time. And that's kind of like sin. Like, so a lot of times we take sin and we say, you know, I can take this sin and I can use it for good. And it leads, and things will lead us to sin. And so you can use that as an example to have that message with somebody, like say, hey, look, you know, you're watching Lord of the Rings, and you say, you know, I thought about that, and the ring kind of represents to me this notion of evil. You know, do you think you can really use evil for good's purposes? And you can have conversations. That's just an example. There's lots of it, like in movies and stuff. If you start to understand the culture, you can take those examples and start to open up and have conversations with people about Christian topics. And it's important to be able to do that in their terms, in their world, because it puts them into a comfort zone. If you're able to have conversations with stuff that other people are into, then it's a kind of a common ground that you can better engage them with. All right, the next trait of an ambassador is that ambassadors learn the language. When an ambassador goes to a foreign country, he doesn't make the foreigners learn English in order to communicate his message, right? He learns their language, or he has an interpreter that speaks their language. And as Christians, we speak some weird stuff. We say some really weird things. And look, the Jesus movement of the 60s and 70s, it's over. Nobody understands what salvation means anymore. Nobody knows what sin means anymore. Nobody knows what these words mean anymore. I mean, they hear them. They may think they know what they mean, but in the context of the culture, they have no idea what they mean. So we say things to them that they just don't understand. And so we have to, we say some pretty weird things. So this is kind of one of the entertainment parts of the presentation. I have some funny things that we say that just sound weird. And I'm going to tell you what they hear when we say them. So the first thing is, you need to repent and be born again. Invite Jesus into your heart. Be washed by the blood of the Lamb and be sanctified. Okay? So we all know what that means. Most of us do. But when we say that, they hear something completely different. They hear blood. They hear Lamb. They hear, and I'm like, wait, you guys are like sacrificing animals? What is that about? You know? So we know what that means, but they don't. And so there's no need for us to kind of get into that. It's just all religious, like, gobbledy mumble jumbo. So they don't understand it. So there's no reason to have to say things like that. Second thing, one of the other things that people say, and this one, I kind of cringe every time I hear it. I don't know. I just have faith. When I hear the word faith, I cringe, not because I don't have faith, but because the culture has co-opted this term, and when we say faith, they automatically put in the word blind faith. Right? As if our faith has no reasons. And I tell you what, I think very deeply about my convictions, right? I've come to very rational, reasonable explanations on right, it's like this. It's like taking a blind leap of faith, right? I have a lot of very rational reasons for what I believe. My faith isn't blind, okay? So I would encourage you, in here we can say faith, but I would encourage you when you're out talking to other people, use another word like conviction or trust, you know, because that's how we come about our beliefs. We have conviction. We trust God because we have a relationship with God. Because we have a relationship and we have prior experience that has taught us. You know, I have faith in my wife to have my kids safe and sound and fed and all that kind of stuff. Not because of just some blind conviction, but just because I have experience with her. I know how amazing of a mother she is. I know what she does for my family, and I know how she takes care of my kids. I have trust. We have trust. We have faith in one another that we're going to do what's best for our family. So that's the relationship that we have. It isn't built on blind anything blind. We have experience. We have a lot of history. So that's what faith is all about. The third one is Jesus died for your sins, so you can spend eternity in heaven with him and not end up in hell. Does anybody know what that the technical jargon for that is? Besides Pastor Manuel? Okay. That's called substitutionary atonement. Now, if I walked up to anybody in this room and said substitutionary atonement, there's probably a lot of you that wouldn't know what that meant, right? And if I say this passage that I just said here, you know, when I read this last line here, and not end up in hell, you know, if I wasn't a believer, I'd be like, you don't even know me. You don't know who I am. And all of a sudden you think I'm going to end up in hell? They're not going to listen to you. So rather than say something like this, we could talk about how we all deserve hell, all of us. And it's only through Jesus' sacrifice that we are saved and don't end up in hell. And we're not, there's a common misconception. We're not banished to hell as punishment. When you reject God, you are choosing that hell. You're choosing that, okay? It's not him shoving you down into these fiery depths. It's you rejecting his saving grace. That's what hell is. It's his withdrawal from you because you don't want it, okay? But when people hear that you're going to end up in hell, they just think you're pointing fingers at them, okay? So I would urge you not to use that kind of dialogue either. And, you know, when Jesus spoke in the first place, he usually taught people that weren't religious figureheads. He taught in parables because he taught in language that was about crops, about farming, about, you know, ceremonies in the culture. He taught about those kind of things because that's the language that the people spoke, and that's how he taught. So we shouldn't feel like we have to start trotting out Bible verses or these big phrases in order to prove that we're Christians. You know, God doesn't care how you say it. He cares the message that you send, but he doesn't care how you say it. So I know sometimes, you know, we get caught up in language. J. Warner Wallace, who's another author that I follow and highly recommend, he puts it this way. He says, good communicators throw the ball so people can catch it and avoid confusing esoteric technical jargon. The point isn't to so that you can feel gratified with these big words that you use. The point is to get your message across. So don't feel like you've got to trot out these big words in order to make your point, in order to prove something. If you lose them on the language that you use, then it was a lost conversation. You know, like Pastor Manuel said, I work in IT. My job is to make all the computers talk to each other and all the stuff happen. And if there's something wrong in the network, and I went to my boss and I said, several nodes on the LAN have committed a DDoS attack against the edge router, he would look at me with a puzzled look. Or I could say, look, we have a virus and it's affecting the internet connection. Right? You know, to an IT person, I can say the first thing. And it's more accurate than what's going on. But the point is completely lost on somebody if I'm using words that they don't understand. So the point is to get I want to get my point across to not feel gratified that I'm using big words. When a great example of this, a bad example of this happening. A few months ago when the U.S. government started to separate, well, it made news that we were separating children at the border from their parents, Sarah Sanders and Jeff Sessions came out, and Jeff Sessions said this, for no reason. He's never said Bible verses at all, ever. But he felt the need to say this. He said, I would cite to you the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the law of government because God has ordained them for the purposes of order. And now that's true. Okay, we know that's true. But if you're a Christian, or if you're not a Christian, that just sounds like religious mumbo jumbo and like you're signaling to other people. Then he followed up with, orderly and lawful processes are a good to themselves and protect the weak and the lawful. Yes, just say that. There's no need to trot out Bible verses out of context because then it just looks weird. So you don't have to do that. Okay, he could have just said the last statement and been done with it, and then that was it. But when we say those kind of things, we shouldn't feel that it's necessary. Just say the message. You don't have to start giving Bible verses and books and all that kind of stuff. Just say the message, right? The next trait is that ambassadors speak on behalf of their nation. An ambassador is given the authority of the nation to speak on behalf of their nation. So when an ambassador goes to another nation, he is basically speaking on behalf of the president or the rest of the government. And just like an ambassador to another nation, you know, we are also given this authority that we are speaking on behalf of the sovereign kingdom. The trouble comes when you go to a foreign nation, and a lot of times the only picture they have of the U.S. is things that they see in movies and TV and on the news. So can you imagine? Like withdraw yourself and put yourself in another place, and the only thing that you know about America is news, TV, and movies. You know, there's a lot of missing information there, right? So, As an ambassador, you spend a lot of time correcting misconceptions and answering questions and trying to correct things that are inaccurate. And we have the same calling because we represent Jesus from the moment that we wake up to the moment that we go to bed. And so everybody we run into, whether it's our spouse or our children or our coworkers, we're representing Jesus and the gospel whenever we show up. Another great example of this not having the full picture. I'm originally from Ohio, and I moved my wife to Ohio for a few months. Didn't last very long. Came back, and when I did that, it was in the 90s. So if you can think back to the 90s, people's vision of Los Angeles in the 90s. Gangster rap or Beverly Hills 90210. And there wasn't much in the middle. Okay? So, and they would ask her that, right? Like they would make jokes about, oh, well, do you, you know, run into movie stars all the time? Or are you from Beverly Hills? Or you have to duck and cover because of all the gunfire? No. She's from Northridge. Okay? It's not like that at all. So she had to spend time correcting misconceptions. And as an ambassador for Christ, we have to do the same thing. In fact, according to our verse, 1 Peter 3:15, we are told we have to be able to give a defense. So we have to be able to handle those objections and misconceptions when they come up. And because there's a lot of people get their impressions of Christians based on the news and based on movies. I hate Christian movies, I gotta be honest. they make me cringe, some of the things that I see and the way that they're portrayed. They're really bad, and most Christians come off as like as condemning, or they don't understand their kids, or you know they're self-righteous, or all the bad stuff. That's how they come off in the movie. So we have to spend time, unfortunately, correcting some of those misconceptions. So that's where the knowledge comes in that we have to have. As an ambassador, we may be the first Christian somebody's ever met. I'm not sure. I couldn't figure out who made this quote, but somebody once said that some people are not Christians because they've never met a Christian. And some people aren't Christians because they have. Okay? So we have to be ready to be that good example of what a good Christian looks like whenever we try to spread our message. And the final trait is that ambassadors get their hands dirty. You can't, when an ambassador goes to another nation, he doesn't get the picture of the country from the palace. He has to go into the marketplace of ideas, and that's how he learns the culture. Okay, he gets his hands dirty. He goes out and sees and puts his boots on the ground. Just like they get bad images of us, we get bad images of them. You know, when we see certain things on the news or whatever, we automatically think that we know. We don't. If you haven't sat down with that person to talk to them and ask questions, you don't know them, no matter what they say. You have to ask questions. You have to get your hands dirty and go out and talk to people. I mean, you know, Jesus did most of his ministry. He was talking to prostitutes and taxpayers, right? And it wasn't because he wanted their services. You know, he went out and talked to these people because they were the sick. They were the ones that needed to be talked to. He didn't expect them to all just come to him. He was going out and talking to people. So that's what we have to do. We have to not trust that they're going to come in these doors. We have to go out there and talk to them out in their comfort zones. We have to get our hands dirty. And there's some things that, you know, the culture does that we just find weird or distasteful. And we have to be careful about some of the stuff that people do and ask, is the thing that they're doing themselves the sin? Like if you're, let's use alcohol for example. Is drinking alcohol itself a sin? No, but getting drunk and getting out of your mind, that's the sin. So we have to understand. So I'm not encouraging people to go out and start drinking and saying, yeah, go for it. But what I'm saying is, just because somebody drinks alcohol doesn't make them a bad person. Okay, so we have to understand, and we can't expect people who are non-believers to act like us. Okay, we can't expect that. We have to meet them where they're at and just kind of have those conversations and help them along. So, and you know, if you find yourself in one of those uncomfortable situations where things are getting a little out of hand, as far as you're concerned, then just leave. They're going to respect you for it. It's going to be fine. But don't be afraid to be in some of those positions that you may need to be in to have important conversations. Because a lot of people, you know, go out to dinner with them. You know, if they're having a backyard barbecue, great, you know. But if things get out of hand, then leave. It's fine. But just because they're having a barbecue or they're serving some alcohol, don't feel uncomfortable about that kind of stuff, because unless it gets out of control, and then just leave, and they're going to respect you for it, so that's okay. Again, in the culture, not of it, right? So in conclusion, as a follower of Jesus, we represent him in everything that we do, to our spouses, to our kids, to our coworkers. So thinking of ourselves as an ambassador is a great way for us to get in the right mindset to be able to share with others and spread the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be considered your ambassadors, to realize that we represent the creator of all things, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things. What an amazing privilege it is for us. And I ask, Father, that you watch over us this week and help us to be better ambassadors, to share your message, to spread the truth, to let people see that the Christian worldview has figured out Jesus got it right. He knows how the world works, and if we should seek to know more things about the nature of man and about the way the world works, you've given us that example. And Lord, I just ask that you help us to shine this week and be your ambassadors in everything that we do. And may everything that we do honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.